My name is Karagat Warner, the Craft Your Confidence Coach and podcast coach for coaches. I believe that a podcast is a powerful medium for connection and community, and inside every conversation is the potential for transformation. So let's get started on yours. Enjoy the episode. Hey everyone, welcome to Craft Your Confidence podcast. Today I'm chatting with life coach Dara Thomason, who helps you lose physical and mental weight. Dara is an author and teacher, and she's passionate about teaching women how to free motion quilt. Today we're going to be talking about perfectionism and also about Dara's 12-step perfection recovery program that teaches women how to overcome those perfectionistic tendencies. So without further ado, welcome Dara to the Craft Your Confidence podcast. So I'm so happy you're here.
It's so much fun to be here, Kara. We really do have a lot of fun being Dara and Kara together. It's so fun.
I know. And I was going to talk about like how when I saw you posting one of our groups, I was like, oh, Dara is a quilter. And then you've got me, Kara, who's a knitter. Like, it's so funny. So cool. I love it. Right.
Yeah. So I was a professional quilter for 5 years. And so when I taught, before that, I was a teacher, elementary school teacher. And so when I taught quilting, which was a lot of fun teaching adults, I didn't have to do any discipline area actions. So good.
Yeah.
But at the end of all my classes or during my class, I would say, listen, I'm the president of the Perfection Recovery Program. because so many women were so scared, they were so worried about not getting it right, this all or nothing thinking and not really enjoying the process of learning. And inevitably, after every class, I'd have at least one or two ladies say, is that a real thing? Do you really have a recovery program?
Isn't that funny how it's like those little things, those little clues about what you need to create for people are like there all the time because people think, oh, do you do that thing or you do that thing? So well, yeah, sorry, I cut you off, but go ahead.
Right? Like they really do feel, and when you think about perfectionism, and I think a lot of people don't understand exactly what perfectionism is. I know for myself, I didn't quite understand it. We'll talk a little bit about that. But when you are feeling very trapped and you're feeling stuck and you're not living the life that you really want, that is a level of perfectionism that you cannot get past. And so they were really needing to know that there is a way out. You don't have to be stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we know when you reached out and, you know, we said, hey, let's do the podcast. And, you know, you shared, you know, how you're working with women who struggle with the pull of perfectionism, right? And just, you know, how this can be really paralyzing. And so like you were saying, it's really like keeping us from our dream. It's really keeping us and holding us back, right? From that bigger vision that we have. It doesn't matter what it is, weight loss, because I know you do a lot of weight loss. So we can talk about that weight loss, your business, whatever. So I want to just ask you to, maybe you can talk about like explaining first the definition of perfectionism. And I thought about this because you know what? A lot of people think it's a badge of honor, right? Like they still think that. I did for years.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is so that we can just blow that out of the water, Dara, like what is that the definition of perfectionism and like how it keeps us in that cycle of stagnation?
Well, how I think about perfectionism, I actually think it's a silent problem because we're often hiding because what keeps us silently hurt is the constant need for validation and acceptance from others. So we are struggling to keep up with making everything just right that we are leaving our own needs behind. So how I describe perfectionism is we worry more about what other people think of us than what we think of us.
Oh, that's so true.
So we need validation from all these other people rather than being open with ourselves and seeing where we are at and understanding our intentions, our desires, what's going on for us. And so it's like a moving target. We're never really being able to be confident with who we are and letting ourselves grow and become that better version of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I also see perfectionism, another word for, I think you said this earlier, but because I was like, yes, we got to dive on this, dive into this resistance. You said that, right? Because where did I put this darn book? And have you ever read this book, Dara? Please say you have. If you haven't, you must read this when we're done. War of Art. This is like the Bible of resistance and the demon of resistance. Anyway, in this book, Stephen Pressfield talks all about resistance and perfectionism. It's all kind of part of that same package and how it's like the monster that keeps us playing small instead of living into that bigger dream. Right. Cause I see this like with my clients, you know, like I work primarily with coaches who want to launch a podcast. Right. And so it's like, here's the program, here are all these steps. Right. And then they feel like if it's not perfect, they won't do it at all.
Right.
I'm sure you've seen that with your weight loss clients, right? And some of your quilters.
Absolutely.
Can you speak to that when they get stuck in the, if it's not done right, in air quotes,
yeah,
like the right way, whatever that means, I won't do it at all, right? Black and white kind of thing.
I will talk a little bit about that, but
yeah.
One of the things that, just dialing back a little bit more of understanding what a perfectionist, if you're a perfectionist or not, is when you're a perfectionist, if you do something and it didn't turn out the way that you thought, you actually take it personally. You think something's wrong with me. Whereas other people who are not perfectionists, they will try something like a podcast or to lose weight. And when they don't achieve that goal in that expected time, they just say, oh, I just haven't figured it out yet. And I remember when I was learning about that concept of, they don't blame or shame themselves. They're just like, I haven't figured it out yet. It's not a problem. I'm going to keep working on it. Whereas perfectionists, they literally take it personally and think, I'm not good enough. Something's wrong with me, which, as we know, there are two main reasons that hold us back as humans. Some version of I'm not good enough, which brings on shame. And then some version of something in my life was not a certain way, like I didn't live on that right side of the tracks, or I didn't have a certain parent or a certain teacher, I didn't go to that school. So some way that we can blame our life, mm-hmm. because it wasn't that way, I could never have that success.
Yeah. So when you see this come up and someone is saying that they want, you know, they're like, I just want to keep things in this tidy little box. Mm-hmm. I want everything to be perfect. And they're resistant.
Yeah.
How would you help them?
Well, the best thing to do is I actually have a self-inventory. So I have 11 questions.
Oh.
So I go through the 11 questions, and one, they have to rate themselves. One being not at all, and 10 being the highest. So what happens there? So the first question on the inventory, self-inventory, is there is no room for mistakes. And so then you go to looking at where is that? And so what I have them do is go through every single question. There's 11 of them. And then each step. So for example, if you said 9, there's no room for mistakes, then you would go to my step one in my 12-step perfection recovery program, which is based loosely over many of like the traditional like AA, all of that.
Right.
So then they would be able to go to that step and they'd be able to work through the worksheets, the information, and then they can see, okay, why do I hold so strongly to this idea that there's no room for mistakes?
Mm.
And then they can start going on this path of recovery.
Yeah.
They know why they have this thought, there is no room for mistakes.
Yeah. You know, and I think we all suffer from this in our own ways, you know, and I know I definitely do because I am a strategist.
Yes.
And sometimes that works against me when I know that my other superpower is spontaneity. Mm-hmm. And so I realize what I do, like the way that I diffuse it, and you know, maybe this helps someone listening, but And I've done these stories, and sometimes I do this in my live videos. I say, no strategy, no bullets, no bullet points, no, not even a sticky note. And I tell myself, you know what? I'm showing up perfectly imperfect. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, we want to be perfect, mm-hmm. but how can you possibly be perfect in an imperfect world?
Right. Well, another example I give a lot is when we first learned to tie shoes, you know, our parents said, okay, you're old enough now to learn how to tie your shoes. And, you know, if you went to this place where I've actually never tied shoes before, so I don't think I'm capable of tying shoes, right? Mm-hmm. But our parents said, well, hey, we'll show you, there's lots of different ways. You could decide that, or you could just wear Velcro and
Right.
So there has to be a level of willingness to be a little bit uncomfortable, to then figure out a way. And really, like, you think about the lower brain, the reason we get this resistance is because the lower brain says we want everything to, you know, be safe, conserve energy, seek pleasure. And our brain hasn't figured out an efficient way of tying shoes yet. So it feels really dangerous and really terrible. It's like, no, no. So that's why we have sabotage. So for your coaches who want to have a podcast, or my ladies who want to lose weight, the brain is saying, you know, this is a terrible idea. We don't have an efficient way of doing this yet. So we should probably just not do it.
Yeah, exactly. So then the next thing that happens is the lower brain, the baby brain, whatever you want to call it, that primitive brain is like saying, okay, I'm going to convince myself that I should do something else. It's self-care. I'm going to go do this thing. Right. And so, why does the brain, you know, the brain's going to go do that thing called, we call it buffering. I know you were going to talk about that too. And I wanted you to explain what that means in layperson terms, even though I know a lot of coaches listen to this podcast, but you know, I've got hundreds of episodes here. A lot of creatives have listened that have maybe someone might not have any idea, right? Someone that happens along this podcast. Can you talk about the lower brain a little bit? And also like what's going on, what's at play when you have these two parts of the brain and you have a goal, you're like, I want this thing, but then you do the opposite thing. Right. And then what happens, like why we buffer and what does buffering mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So before we lived in houses with security systems and had grocery stores that gave us a supply of food, and we even have now we have like refined sugar and flour that we can eat very easily and have lots and lots of energy. But we are wired to stay safe, to be careful of our surroundings. We are wired to conserve energy because we don't know if there's going to be a pandemic or there's going to be a shortage of food or whatever it is. And also seeking pleasure because we need to be able to, you know, reproduce our kind. So it is important to have pleasure because that's going to keep us to have the will to keep living. So if there's like a giant snowstorm, we want to keep living. And so that's what's going to happen. So our lower brain is there to help us. Now, we also want other things in life, but we don't want to feel negative emotion. Because feeling negative emotion means like we could get rejected or we could be, you know, left behind or whatever that is. And the negative emotion doesn't feel always so great. So what happens is when we avoid a negative emotion, we are going to try to find something outside of us to make us feel better. That's all that we're doing. So we are just trying to get an alternative.
Yeah,
so that's what suffering is. We are literally just trying to find something outside of us to make ourselves feel better internally. Whereas the easy solution is just to allow ourselves, because emotions literally are just like tapping us on the shoulder saying, hey, did you know you're feeling kind of sad? Or hey, did you know you're feeling disappointed? Like emotions literally are just have a job to tell us like how we're doing as humans. And so, but when we resist those emotions, and we buffer away from them, all that happens is they just get worse and worse. I like to think about like, if you are avoiding and resisting, it's like a pop bottle and you just shake it. You're like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this. And every time we say we don't want to deal with this, we're literally shaking the bottle. And eventually what happens? It explodes.
Yeah.
The sooner we can just accept whatever that emotion is, then we can just move on.
So let's get a little vulnerable here. How has perfectionism shown up in your life?
Oh,
in your business, in your journey to where you are today? Let's go there, because listeners love this stuff.
Oh, I love it, because what I say, so as a professional quilter with Instagram, I think the whole thing I did was all visual. So for me to say, here's a beautiful quilt that I just quilted for a client, being completely open to any sort of criticism, that's massive. And I remember listening to an artist on a national radio show, and this person was like in their 80s. And he said, every single time I put my art in the world, I feel sick to my stomach. I couldn't believe that. I didn't think that was possible. I thought you grew out of this thing. And so when I realized that, I accepted, I didn't shake the pop bottle anymore. I'm like, oh, this is just what you do. Like, when you want to be creative and when you want to grow as a human, you also want to feel that goodness. You actually also are saying, I'm signing up to feel some vulnerability.
Yeah.
So when I decided to change my focus from being a professional quilter, I mean, I taught internationally. It was very exciting. And I thought, I'm going to be a life coach and I'm going to coach people on weight loss. Like that was like a complete different focus. I never, ever imagined myself being a weight loss coach.
Yeah. And so that, like, how did you, cause you didn't believe it, right? You were like, I'm a weight loss coach and I quilt. Like, you couldn't put the two together, but somehow they came together.
Well, it was very confusing because I never intended to be a weight loss coach. In fact, my journey was I was going to help long armers create their businesses and still be teaching, because I love teaching. I taught elementary school for 10 years. I love teaching. It was so fun. I love connecting with women. I love empowering women. And what happened was, when I myself had my first life coach, she transformed my life. The tools transformed my life. I use the tools. I transformed myself. And I was so encouraged by it that I decided to build this business of helping other long armers and build their skills and all of that. And then people hired me to work on their business. And they said, and by the way, can you show me how you lost 50 pounds without counting calories and not exercising? And so as I saw these women also having the same transformation that I did, I actually felt like it was a calling that I needed to help them do that. And in turn, it's been really fun, because they're, when they lose the weight and they learn to use these tools, so many of my women now have continued to build their businesses in more amazing ways. But we've got to get this foundational work done for them to not worry so much, be paralyzed by what other people think of them. And weight is a very visual boundary for so many women.
How did you do that yourself? Because like that, what you're talking about, like, because, you know, I see you on Instagram, right? Yeah. And you're just you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the technical stuff doesn't work, or, ooh, I loved your story about how you got kicked off of Instagram with the granola box. Yeah. I was like, yeah, on your son's head or something. Like, you guys have to go listen to it. It's hilarious. But
he made a granola bar box into a hat and he didn't have a shirt on. And he's like, take a picture of me, mom. And I thought, kids need to be more creative in these days. And I put it on Instagram and said, isn't this fun? Does this remind you of your childhood? And I got kicked off Instagram for doing Instagram lives for a month. Absolutely.
But I mean, you just, you know, you put yourself out there. I think that was really funny. And, but like, I see that in you. You're like, this is me. I'm showing up. I'm really passionate and I'm excited. But was there a time, like, do you go in there scared? Do you feel a little bit barfy sometimes, but you just keep showing up? Like, you just, you know, is your belief in what you're doing to help women stronger than your fear of perfectionism?
Absolutely. And yeah, one of the things that is really key here for all of us who want to, so like I said, I felt a calling. And so for all of you who are going to have a podcast, when you think about the transformation that you yourself have had And then you now have figured out a system, a process that you can help others create that for themselves. That is now bigger than you are. And so when you know that, like I love, and Elizabeth Gilbert talks in Big Magic.
Good like book.
All have, we like ideas are there.
In the ether, in the ether.
Like, when I was a little girl, I actually remember thinking, why can't you just play with your credit card at the gas tank? Why do you have to go into the store? And I was like, when I'm a big girl, I'm going to do that. And I was like, darn it. I missed that calling. But that's the thing. Like these ideas come. And if you miss it, if you're not the person, then those ideas are going to go to other people.
Yeah.
And so when I think about when people were coming to me and saying, so first of all, when I was introduced to life coaching, and I was in a really bad state. We moved. It was not my choice. My husband got transferred. My choice was to stay married. So it was my choice to move. But I had such an amazing experience. Like I was the local quilter. I was teaching like crazy. Our house was paid off. It was just ideal. We were close to family. And so we moved here. I got in touch with a life coach and she completely changed my life.
Hey, just hopping in here really quick to let you know that I have a free masterclass on all things how to podcast. And if you're a coach, a podcast is a beautiful way to coach and teach your potential clients before they ever get on a consult call with you. I know this is true because just about every time I get on a call with someone new, I always ask the question, so how did you hear about me? And it's always the podcast. Think of it like doing the job of a consult. It's pretty amazing, right? So in my free class, I show you how to create impact and launch your show powerfully. Because here's the truth. The podcasting space is getting more and more crowded with new shows popping up every day. The good news is podcasting is still growing and has now surpassed radio listening. So now's the time to get in on the game. Creating a podcast is only part of the equation. It's about knowing how to strategically launch your show, starting from episode number one, so you can rise above the noise. And in my free class, I show you exactly how to do this in three steps. To sign up, go to caragotwarner.com, Confident Podcaster.
And so as I changed my life and applied the tools that you and I both have, then I created all these other amazing things in my life, like teaching across Canada and going to the States to teach and getting the book contract and all of these things. And so because I started loving my body and taking care of my body and not buffering with food and actually paying attention to my emotions and not using my food to be a comfort, temporary fix, I actually started losing weight in a way that was very genuine. It was literally loving myself and honoring my body and honoring my emotions. And when I remember when I got to 170 pounds, when I got married, I was 164. So 170, I was like, woohoo, I've had five babies. I'm in my 40s. This is amazing. And the next thing, like literally months went by and I was like 160 pounds, 150 pounds. And now I'm 150. I've been 150 now for.
So you don't really, what do you think was that the turning point? Cause you were practicing self-love. You weren't buffering with food, but when you finally got to that point of like truly like, practicing self-love and knew you didn't have to go to food, did the weight just start? You're like, wow, look at that. It's just coming off.
So surprising. I'm like, I lost 2 more pounds. Oh, I lost what? My pants are falling off. My kids are like, come on, you got to get a belt or need some new pants. Because I was so just in my life and I was
Your life.
Became more interesting. I didn't need food to be the focal point. I always say to my clients, make your life interesting Your food, not so much.
It's so true. It's almost like, you know, when you're dating, like the, if you can remember that when you were once single and you have the butterflies, like the dating diet, you know, like, cause we don't use words like diet. I don't use diet words, but it is, it's like, wow, you don't eat as much. Oh, you leave food on the plate. Cause you're like so into this guy or this lady, you know? So
you got, you start taking care of your life. And so with perfectionism, when you think about it, like some of the characteristics, like all or nothing thinking, there has to be one right way. You're really hard on yourself. You never really enjoy everything that you have. It's never good enough. You spend like lots of times perfecting something. You're constantly spotting mistakes. Like these are the triggers, like the flashing lights of, hey, wait a minute. You're worrying more about what other people are thinking about you than what you're thinking of you. Mm. And you're not enjoying the life that you have. You're not learning how to get your own back. You're not learning to just love being a human on this earth.
Yeah. And I think like, since we're talking about weight loss and we try to be a perfectionist in checking the boxes and eating the certain foods and, oh, it's dinner time, it's lunchtime, instead of really tuning into like our own hunger and when we're really hungry. And when we're so caught up, like you're saying, caught up in the food and not our lives being like amazing. It's almost like, I think for anyone feeling like this, that you're so caught up in, oh, my next exciting moment is what I'm eating. Look at, you know, it's just a good idea to examine what's happening in your life, you know?
I do believe, like I say that the role of food is we need to give our body minerals and nutrients. We need to give it power, of course. And there is an act of preparing food for other people. Like it literally is a way of taking care of each other as a human race. So right before this podcast interview, my husband has the day off and let my youngest son take the day off with him. And they made me a salad and some eggs and some fruit. It is a way for them to show love and it's a beautiful thing. So I'm not saying that we made an iPhone. Like if we really needed like a little pill that said, here are all the minerals and nutrients you need, they would have done that already. But there is an act and our body does really appreciate like breaking down food. Like our organs love it.
Absolutely.
So we need to understand. So even as humans, and I love that the people listening to this are creatives. They want to do a podcast. They have such a strong desire. We have to be willing to allow ourselves to feel those negative emotions because on the flip side, it's allowing you to feel all the positive emotions. And it's allowing you to have the transformation. That is why I'm so vulnerable and so willing to be vulnerable, Kara, because I know that the more willing I am to feel all the feelings, I can feel all the feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Spectrum. I can have the whole rainbow in multicolors because I'm like, yeah, bring it on, world. I can feel disappointment. No problem. Discouragement. No big deal. Because guess what else happens? I get to finally reconnect with a client who is now climbing a mountain with her family and helping her family solve like generational problems because she now has these tools. So is it going to be uncomfortable for me? Absolutely. Is it worth it? 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
For you on your people who want to make podcasts. Of course it's uncomfortable. It's not a problem. Of course. Like that's just, yep, there we go. You put every morning, you put on discomfort, you put on like, you know, you're putting on your shirt, you're putting on a necklace, you're putting on your socks. You're like, yep, come on, let's have some doubt. Let's have some discomfort. Not a problem.
But it's interesting how we can, like, we know these things exist and we can deny them or say, you know, I'm going, like, we're going to kind of fight against them or deny that they should be there.
Right.
And like, I was just saying this the other day to my coach, I was on her podcast and she was like, drop the mic. I forget how I said it, but it was like, I just said, I want comfort all the time. Right. I'm admitting that. I have no shame. And it's like being a human. It's like just knowing that, okay, that's how I'm programmed. So what's next? If I have, just like we said in the beginning of the episode, you know, it's like, if you have a bigger dream, like, yeah, you're always going to have discomfort. Life is like sitting on a pin. I think the Buddha said that. Someone said the Buddha said that. But if that's true, and we know we need to work against it, like against that natural habitual thing, right? Then we're like, ah, okay, now I can start to try on feelings that I really want to live into that bigger dream, right? Is that kind of what you're speaking to?
One of the things that is also really tied into perfectionism and going along with what you said is, and I actually talk about perfectionism as a survival strategy. So when you were a little kid, you wanted to obviously like have people's approval. That was really important. And it's not a problem. Of course, we're wired to not be rejected. It's part of right? And so the problem is that we thought that if I could get it perfect and I could just have a very efficient way of doing it, then I would never have that problem again. But the issue is, and that's fine. We can do that with certain things, but life will always be, to have a well-balanced life, it always has to be 50-50. We always have to have the opposite. But otherwise, we just live like in like gray.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some believe that, you know, you have to experience the pain, the discomfort, so that you can, so you can transcend it, right? Well, and that's important to like really understand it viscerally.
Yeah. If you don't have pain, you wouldn't even know what, so if you didn't have sorrow, you wouldn't know what joy felt like.
Yeah.
If you don't have night, you don't have day. Like if you don't have an opposite of that thing, you would never know that it's there.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's totally fine. It's like, I'm feeling really sad. Wonderful. Guess what? Feel it, allow it, like don't resist it, because guess what's on the flip side of sadness? Joy.
Exactly.
How wonderful is it to have joy? Amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So we're going to start to wrap up a little bit, but I want you to share about your 12-step recovery, your perfection and recovery program, and how people can learn more about it. And then, you know, share how people can learn more about you. But what would, I always like to ask my guests, like to give some parting advice. If someone is feeling like they really are stuck, like, you know, they're listening to this, they're really, okay, I could try, but I'm like, I really want everything to be in the tidy box. I hear what you're saying about the primitive brain and all these other things, but I don't buy it right now. Right? What would be like a little bridge, you know, a little, like as Mel Robbins says, the block in a bridge, we have bridge thoughts. We talk about those in the life coaching world. But what advice would you leave with that person today?
Okay. This is my favorite thing to say to people. When I'm coaching them, I said, whatever triggered you today. So if there was things that I said in this podcast, whatever triggered you, I want you to now like lean into that and now be a curious 3-year-old. Why were you triggered? What was going on? Why do you have some resistance? And I love being a curious 3-year-old. That is how I lost weight. That is like how I built my business. That is how I got like all the dreams that I have. It all starts with curiosity. It's because when you allow yourself to be curious, you're no longer in this like really judgy, like unkind thinking. Because if you're really feeling a lot of resistance right now, there's probably some knots in your stomach. There's probably some like resistance. Well, obviously resistance. But if you can just allow yourself to be like, why? Like, come on, like what's going on? And it's almost like a ball of wool. If it's a really tight ball of wool, you're not going to get it unknotted. Mm-hmm. So the more you can be curious with it and like, you know, loosen it up and just kind of play around and really look at it all different angles, you're going to discover why.
I love that. I love it. Cause you show up like that on, you know, on your platforms, like this, the curious 3-year-old. It's true. You really do. You live that. And, like it's this childlike focus, like kind of attitude as a, not childish, different, right? Childlike. Yeah. And that's like, you know, I definitely see that. I see that, you know, coming from you. So that's really amazing advice. Right. And also this just came to mind when you were talking, you know, like this, I was thinking the difference between, you know, like someone who like takes a chance to go after that bigger dream and someone who doesn't, they're just willing to go through that barfy feeling. Like they're just like, we all have it. Like we all do. You do. I do. Someone that's in the shadows, the client that I have that is not willing to start because they're scared. The difference is you're doing it. You know, like you're, you know, the person that's stepping out and doing it is what I'm trying to say. And in the book I mentioned before, The War of Art, you know, Henry Fonda would barf and throw up before every single time he would act or go on stage or whatever he did. Like it's right. So it shows you like we're all the same. We're all human beings and we're wired with these same things, these emotions. It's amazing. And it's encouraging.
Help us. So we don't need to resist them. It's like the pop bottle, right? We don't want to be shaking it and resisting and avoiding it. We're like, here it is. Thank you, emotions.
Yeah. No, and like you, you know, when you said before, you were like, I thought this would go away. I'd get better at things. I'd get better. I'd be, you know, more skilled and whatever. I had the same thing happen. And I had this point where I thought, the more I do this thing, I'm just going to get better and it's going to go away. But the day I realized that it wasn't was the day I said, it's like I relaxed the grip and I allowed myself to just show up and still feel barfy and sick because I'm sharing the same experience with everyone else.
Because now you are more concerned about you as an artist and what you think of what you've done than what other people. Like you are not petrified by their thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And okay. So how can people find out? Tavia, you have the test, right? They can take the quiz, take the quiz and all the other stuff. So how can they do that? And how can they find out more about you?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me, well, I have my website. That's really fun. Really, Instagram is super fun for me. Dara Thomason, TOMASSON. And so Instagram is super fun. I have lots of great stories on Instagram. You will love them.
You do.
I have a YouTube channel and I just did a webinar today on how to create the dream without knowing the how. I just created an incredible dream that I have been planning for over a year and it just came true on Monday. I was interviewed by Stacey Bayman.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I have been creating for myself for a very long time. And so exciting, so much
really?
Fun. But I wrote a book in 2019, like a journal, I should say, of all these dreams that I had. And so many of them have come true. It is so much fun. So you can go to my YouTube channel. And I have lots of free training. Last week I did 5 top reasons why self-doubt is the precursor to having success. Like so much of what I teach, it's just so incredible and so amazing. And
that's great. When you have a moment of self-doubt, how do you handle it?
I literally put my hand on my chest and I say, I'm just having some self-doubt right now. It's not a problem. I go to acceptance. I'm not shaking that pop bottle anymore. Because who knows when you're going to explode?
It's so true. Yeah, you don't want to explode.
So what I really would love to tell people, if they are struggling with their weight and if they're struggling with their confidence and if they're struggling with like, how do I make these dreams come true? How do I like, she talks about all these emotional things. So the best way is to join my 12-week group program. Where weight loss science is simple, emotions are the key to the universe. And then you learn to create the future you whom you love being. And I would love to welcome you in my 12-week program.
That's great. You're doing all of the things. This is amazing. I love it. You just go with your heart. You follow your heart. Quilting, weight loss, self-doubt, perfectionism.
Yeah, it's all good.
Dream journals.
Totally.
That's good. All right. Well, Dara, this was great. Thank you so much for joining me.
It was so fun to meet with you, Karen.
I know.
Karen, Dara Show.
Yay. Show. All right. Bye, bye, you guys.
Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that podcast episode. And I just want to close with letting you know that if you're ready to craft your podcast with confidence, I've got a free masterclass. I'm going to show you the 3 steps to get started. I'm going to help you to get out of your own way and stop creating the confusion and the overwhelm. Because all you need is a microphone and a message and a desire to make an impact. That's it. To sign up, go to caragottwarner.com/confident podcaster. And then after you watch, you'll learn the next steps for working together in my signature Confident Podcaster program. Again, it's a free class and you can take these 3 steps and use them right away. So go to caragottwarner.com/confident podcaster. Take care and I'll see you next time.